Welcome to installment 17 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's commandment is positive commandment 73, the commandment of Vidui Dvorim, to make a verbal confession after having done some misdeed. The Rambam declares that this commandment is that after we have done some sort of sin, we are required, when doing tshuva, when doing repentance, to make a verbal statement and say, Ana Hashem, that please God, Chatosi Avisi Pashati, that I have sinned and transgressed, Vasisi Kach Vakach, I did the following act. And a person should describe what he has done wrong and then ask for forgiveness and atonement to the best of his ability. It would seem to imply from the Rambam's expression here that the commandment is this, just a confession, and it is an incidental thing that when can you do this confession? Only when you happen to do tshuva, when you happen to repent for the misdeed. But the actual fear that itself is not a commandment. However, the Shulchan Aruch points out that when we correct the description in the Rambam's legal code, it is clear that the tshuva itself is part of the mitzvah, that one is commanded to repent and to correct one's misdeeds. Here in Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam does not describe this part of the mitzvah, simply because you cannot count as a mitzvah something which is in the heart. Mainly mitzvahs, the mitzvahs which are counted are things which involve some action, whether it is thought or speech or deed. Over here, it is not even the thought so much, which is the idea of tshuva, but more an inward feeling of the heart, and therefore it is not described as the mitzvah, although in reality, according to the halacha, it is. The Rambam now goes on a lengthy proof to show that this commandment of confession, and accordingly the commandment to do tshuva, is in all different types of mitzvahs. He first off says that even when we have a specific commandment in the Torah, that in order to achieve atonement, we must bring a sacrifice, that even in conjunction with that sacrifice, we are required to make this vidui, to make this confession. As the Mechilta quotes a verse from the book of Leviticus, which says, V'izvada asher chata alea, that you should make the confession regarding your sin upon it. Upon it is referring to the sacrifice, and before it has been slaughtered. From this we see that the commandment of confession applies to a sacrifice. And in this particular verse, regarding a person who has entered the temple grounds in a state of impurity, or a similar sort of transgression. Therefore, we see from this verse that we do have a commandment of confession, but only in a very specific case. When one does this act, such as entering the Beit HaMikdash, when he is impure. The Mechilta proceeds to bring other verses to show that this commandment applies to all commandments. Quoting a verse from the book of Numbers, Daber al bnei Yisrael v'izvadu, speak to the Jewish people that they should confess, which applies to other mitzvahs. And it says, chatosam, their sins, meaning even should it be a sin where they are guilty of the death penalty, or similar things. Another verse, apparently a different verse from the book of Leviticus, says, Kol chatosam, all of their sins, meaning everything, all sorts of prohibitions. And Ki Yasu says this verse back in Numbers, when they do something, that those words, Ki Yasu, are referring to positive commandments. Meaning that even when one violates a positive command, such as not putting on tefillin, or not dwelling in a sukkah or something similar, one must do tshuva and one must confess. Say vidui for this type of transgression as well. The Mechilta continues to use other parts of the verse also to describe other sorts of mitzvahs which are singled out. Mikol chateis ha'adam, any sin of a person, comes to refer to any interpersonal violation. For example, theft, burglary, and disparaging talk, Lashon Hara. So to the word lima'il, to do a misdeed, comes to include the severe sins of somebody swearing falsely or someone cursing. And the eshma ha'nefesh, that this soul has done a transgression, comes to include any sort of person who is punishable by death. All of these people are required to confess, to say vidui. The only exception which is stated here in the Mechilta is a person being put to death as a result of false testimony. That due to his testimony, due to the testimony of these false witnesses, he is being put to death. How can such a person be required to confess, says the Mechilta? In reality, he did not do any transgression. How can he confess? Therefore, in this case, he is exempt from confessing. This is what the Rambam says in Sefer HaMitzvot. In his legal code, the Rambam defines the law is that everyone must confess, even though they claim that there is false testimony. Because, as the Talmud says, if we allow one person to do it, everyone will naturally say that they were falsely accused, that they did not do the transgression. Therefore, the law remains that everyone is required to confess. Now that the Rambam has showed that this commandment applies to all mitzvahs, he has two jobs remaining, both of which he brings from the Mechilta. One is to show that this mitzvah applies not only at the time when the sacrifices are being brought, during that time period. Since, as we mentioned, the commandment is discussed in conjunction with the bringing of a sacrifice, that when one brings the sacrifice, he is required to verbally mention the sin regarding which the sacrifice is being brought. One might think that only when it is a time when sacrifices are being used, only during that time period of the Beis HaMikdash is a verbal confession required. Therefore, the Rambam brings the Mechilta, quoting a verse, that they must confess regardless of whether or not the sacrifices are being brought. However, nevertheless, this commandment was said to apply in the land of Israel. How do we know that even when one is outside Israel, one is also required to say vidui? For this, the Mechilta quotes the book of Daniel, where he says, "Locha Hashem hatzdaka v'lonu beishis aponim," as we say in our slichas, our penitential prayers before Rosh Hashanah, that to you, God, is all of the charity, and to us is only shame. Where this was part of the confession of Daniel, and Daniel was outside the land of Israel. From here we see that the requirement to confess is whether or not one is in Israel, whether or not it is the time when the sacrifices are being brought, and for all commandments, whether a positive commandment or a prohibition, one is required, as the Sifra says, that one must make vidui dvarim, a verbal confession. It is clear, however, that this confession does not in and of itself absolve one of the misdeed. First of all, this only helps when one has done a transgression against Hashem. One has violated a commandment bein Adam l'makom, between him and God. However, should one do something against another person, for example, theft, or shaming another person, one must first rectify this mistake. One must go to the person and pay back the money, or ask their forgiveness. Otherwise, any tshuva is worthless. How could you do tshuva, say you're repenting, when the act, the misdeed, is still in existence? That is first of all. Second of all, even after the correction has been made, or if we are speaking about a case when it's a sin between person and God, one is required to do tshuva, one is required to repent, and to do so fully in one's heart, which, as the Rambam describes, means he should abandon it completely. First of all, regret the past, what he has done in the past, and second of all, make a firm resolution in himself not to return to this path in the future. This is the minimum idea of tshuva. And then he must make the verbal confession after that he has already made the tshuva, or in conjunction with this tshuva. Anyone that merely says the words and has not made this firm resolution within himself, the Rambam compares to someone who goes to the mikvah, to the ritual pool, to impurify himself from some form of tumah, a form of impurity, and he is still holding the impurity in his hand. What good will his immersion do if he's holding something in his hand? And it is not only, as we will learn, God willing, in the laws of mikvah, that one must have the entire body in contact with the water, and he is holding something in his hand, and therefore the immersion is improper. It's really more than that. Over here, the immersion does not help because the source of the impurity is still attached to him. What caused him to become impure in the first place is still in the midst of making him impure. Therefore, his purification procedure of the mikveh will not be effective. And so too in our case, the viduid, the verbal confession helps only after the person has resolved to leave this undesirable path. Once that has been done, then the verbal confession can be effective. However, as long as he is still holding on to that path of action, any purification, any efforts of confession are of no use, since he is still holding on to his misdeed. The details of this commandment are discussed in the last chapter of Masechta Yuma regarding the laws of Yom Kippur. There are many important principles associated with this commandment of tshuva and vidui, and God willing, we will be discussing them over the next few days, since we will be repeating this commandment. One basic principle which is important to stress is that this commandment of tshuva is in fact higher than all of the other commandments. Since tshuva has the effect of correcting misdeeds, it can correct what is lacking in any of the other mitzvahs. The spiritual damage which has been done as a result of a prohibition can be corrected through tshuva. And so too, the lack of additional holiness brought into the world as a result of the neglect of a positive commandment can again be corrected through tshuva. Our sages say that just as in all illnesses in the world, God first created the cure. He brought the cure into the world and only then brought the illness to give us a chance to overpower this illness. So too, in the case of the Yetzer Hara, a person's evil inclination. Before God created the Yetzer Hara, he created the power of tshuva, the power of repentance. And this is the cure for the Yetzer Hara. It has been said that the power of tshuva cannot be imagined in the physical world, this which is accomplished in the spiritual realms. The closest thing we could imagine, if we could imagine that, God forbid, a person had his head chopped off, and then we found some way to attach the entire head back to the body so that the person should be able to live, and there would be no remnant, no trace of the previous act of having his head chopped off, and the person would be functioning as he was before, and even better. Such is the power of tshuva, that although the person has completely cut himself off from his source as a result of his misdeed, tshuva can mend this injury, and in fact bring the person back even closer to God than he was before he has done the misdeed. As the Gemara says, that in the place that a Baal tshuva can stand, the place someone who does repentance stands, even the highest tzaddik cannot stand there. And as the Rambam stresses in his legal code, not only he doesn't stand there, he is totally unable to reach such a high level. We will discuss the meaning of this, God willing, in some of the coming classes. Thank you for tuning in to Sefer HaMitzvos and the Rambam. For more information or to sponsor a shir, contact Seichas in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.